Blog Talk Radio.
Amongst friends, conversations for the grown and sexy, where we discuss everything concerning life, love, sex, and relationships.
Good evening, and welcome to Amongst Friends. We are so glad that you've decided to join us tonight. Tonight we're very excited to be bringing to you a follow-up and a recap to an event that took place in the DMV this past weekend, SoulWorks 3 Body Heat. Tonight I'm glad to have on the line with me our host each week. We have Jeff.
Hey now.
Deidre is with us.
Of course, I'm here.
And Joey will be on the line very shortly if he's not already with us. Tonight, we want you to be very interactive and get engaged in the conversation. Tonight, we will be discussing SoulWorks 3, Body Heat, Love, Sex, Relationships, and Spirituality. And we have a special guest with us on tonight that will be giving us some very good information and taking our questions. We'd like to welcome to the Amongst Friends family, Pastor Darrell. If you have a question or comment, you can log on to our website in the chat room on Facebook at Amongst Friends Radio Talk Show, or you can dial us at 760-683-2662. Again, that number is 760-683-2662, and press 1 if you would like to say something. Pastor Darrell, how are you tonight?
I'm doing excellent. Good to be here.
Well,
hey,
we're
everybody.
So glad to have you. If you could just give us take a few moments to share with us what the vision of the Body Heat event was and what that aspect is, and share with us some background on that event for tonight before we just dive right into our questions and conversation.
Sure, absolutely. The conference SoulWorks and Body Heat came about because being a pastor in the Christian church and a young pastor, pastoring young people and people of all ages for that matter, one of the things you find that is like a thread throughout everybody's life is that people struggle deeply when it comes to interacting with the opposite sex and entering into relationships with each other. They struggle deeply because there's so much confusion, there's so much misconception about it, and people oftentimes are just shooting in the dark. They're just taking chances and guessing. And when I find many women, they get slammed to the ground, their hearts are broken, and they're jaded and hurt. And then you find many men who carry lots of walls and baggage and find it very hard to even, you know, spin out of what it kind of gets them caught up into. They find themselves playing roles that are not really where their heart is, just so that they can just survive. And so people are largely guessing and confused. And so, you know, I thought it was just necessary, first of all, to look at how could I help them. And when I looked at what we had been offering for many, many years in the church and even in practical help books, you know, help aids and things that you find online, a lot of it is repetitive information that I found to be very helpless, meaningless. And it asks you to go back and do the same thing again and just try a little adjustment of the same thing. And I thought that was bad. So we came up with the idea of reworking our idea, you know, taking the challenge to go to another level and try something different that maybe we haven't thought to try before.
Great. Well, thank you so much for that. That really helps us to dive right into our conversation tonight. Because I do believe that, you know, just in the time that we've been together over the past year doing Amongst Friends, we've had callers to call in with some very different dynamics and information that they've received from family members, from, you know, the church, from their pastors, from their leaders, where it did not work or was not working for them in their relationships, in their sexuality, in their love. And so it's good to know that there is a, you know, a new ideas, fresh direction and information. Let's start off the conversation.
Go ahead.
You know, go ahead.
I was just going to say, no, that when you said fresh ideas and new information, I wanted to say that that's just really key right there. You know, anybody who wants to overcome, if you want to overcome something that you've been challenged with over and over again and you haven't found your way over it, you have to grow and challenge yourself to try something that you haven't tried before, and that might mean going beyond what you think works or what you're comfortable with in order to win or to, you know, have success. So that's where the idea of reworking comes from. That's just a key word, just to rework it and to try a different model, you know.
Right, right. I know we've talked about amongst ourselves, you know, talking about transparency and being in the church and things like that. Why is it so difficult for the church to talk about sex and love and relationship?
Well, frankly, because the church has never taken the courage or exercised the courage to really sit down and to be honest enough to say that maybe we missed something or we don't know exactly what to do in this particular instance. I think the church is struggling with an amount of pride that won't let it say that I don't know or what we've been doing is not working. We have to appear to always have an answer, and that's just not really realistic, period.
It's not realistic for the church to always have an answer?
For the church to say that they always know the exact answer or have every single answer to every question, it's not really realistic to take that position. It's kind of arrogant to say we have every answer. And I think it's important for the church even, if the church wants to be an example or be a help aid to people in their real life, they have to be willing to sit down and reconsider, rethink, rework different things, just like people have to do in their regular lives. And then you can show somebody how to comb through an issue, figure out the best way forward that works for them, and then take that route and have the courage to take that route, whatever you come up with as, you know, the way forward. If the church could do that, then I think people as individuals could do it. You know, oftentimes you find churches just offering the same generic, vague, broad answers like, you know, Jesus is the answer, or just pray, you know, you'll figure it out, or they refer you back to something that did not work before. And I mean, even the Bible warns you against doing something that didn't work for somebody else. Like, why would you do it if it didn't work for them?
All right, all right. Does anyone have any questions or comments they want to share? Again, you can join us in this conversation, this dialogue, at 760-683-2662. Again, that number is 760-683-2662, and simply press 1 to give a question or a comment. Go ahead, Joey. You have a question? Joey?
Hello?
You had a question?
Hello. I didn't have a question, but I did have a comment. Just so far, you know, I think that is very important. Pastor Darrell?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that what you said about people trying something new, especially when it comes to relationships and actually getting, you know, not doing the same thing, I think that's really important, especially in relation to the church and how the church, you know, talks about relationships and how people should relate to one another. I think that we have found ourselves you know, guilty of one, and I think, you know, Heather's question was why is the church kind of, you know, apprehensive to talking about sex and relationships? And I think, like you said, it's just one, is because they really don't know the answer, but they're not able to express that. But I also think that it's because they don't want to kind of look like, I guess they are taking like a stand other than what seems politically right, in my opinion, you know, so they're not going to talk about something that could kind of bring controversy or something like that, when in fact, you know, these are the things that people in the church are dealing with, no matter how they try to hide it or try to cover it up. Like, they dealing with sex, they dealing with intimate relationships, they dealing with conflict in relationships. So why wouldn't we talk about it and talk about it openly? So I think that I certainly am excited, one, that you're here and that we're having this conversation with you on Amongst Friends, because, you know, it's just good to get a different kind of point of view, especially when we're talking about church and relationships in the church.
So I would also say, you know, last thing, guys, don't get me off talking about the church too much, because I have a whole lot to say about that. But I do want to say this one that's coming about the church and their idea about sex, and that is, before we get into some more weightier things, but first, and that is that the church needs to deal with themselves concerning their own belief in God, because when we talk about doing a new thing, somehow, you know, religious people tend to think that doing something new is not God, that God is the same and he's yesterday, today, and forevermore, and that somehow that scripture meant that God does not do anything new, when there's a volume and volumes of scripture that tell you, I am doing a new thing, particularly in us, with us, for us, you know. And so behold the new things. I could go on and on about that. And so the church really falls into a place of unbelief when they think every time somebody, a believer or a person, mentions doing something different or new or in a way that we haven't done it in the church or haven't understood it before, that somehow you're deviating from biblical standards or from God. The church's unbelief is really amazing, and it needs to be checked. And quite frankly, I believe that God is really doing something special for the universe and setting people free from that whole flawed idea of religion and putting God in this box like he's not doing anything new. So I'm ready. Let's go.
Okay, so I just got a question via text, and the question basically is, can I still be sexual, sensual, and spiritual?
Okay, this is the question. Can you be sexual and
sensual and spiritual?
Well, you absolutely positively can. You know, I think that's one of the misnomers that the church is afraid to deal with. And this is to be understood from a broader perspective. I mean, you have to understand that human people typically throughout all of history have wrestled or been very conflicted about how the spirituality is connected to our natural or our physical. And so a lot of the conclusions that men have come to over the generations is that, if I'm going to be spiritual, I can't be natural or physical at all. And if I'm physical, I'm definitely ungodly or somehow not holy or honorable. And but the truth of the matter is that you cannot deny your sexuality any more than you can deny your ethnicity, and you cannot separate your physical urges, your natural urges, from who you are as a being that is intrinsically connected to your physical body.
Mm.
You know?
Mm. Yeah, and that makes sense. I think that a lot of times people feel like they have to deny who they are sexually, or if they, you know, have sensuality or those things, that in order to be a Christian, you can't be that way. You can't, there's always been a lot of talk about the way you dress, and is that becoming of somebody that looks like this or looks like that, when
sure,
you're still trying to be, you know, not necessarily pseudo deep, but spiritual, but still a Christian and
sure,
honest about
sure
that.
Well, again, I think everybody needs to understand that it's not just Christianity. It's like just about every religion that exists today. All of them have
held out, served up the idea that you should, you know, in order to be spiritual, you have to detach yourself from your natural self or from your physical self. But that's not the problem we should get caught up on. The real thing we should really think about is, why do they come to that conclusion? Why is it that we feel, as humans, that we need to detach from our flesh or our physical in order to be successfully spiritual, when we know this is not the truth? Because people have tried this for years, and I have a term I call it. It's the unintentional science. The unintentional science of it has taught us that has not been a successful idea. You can act as if you're going to be all the way in the spirit and not deal with your physical. You'll find that it actually comes back on you in a different way, because you cannot deny it. But every religion, especially Christianity, has been very preoccupied with detaching itself from the physical or the natural world in order to be spiritually successful. The question is, why is it? I believe that the answer is because the natural world is transient, or it is in motion, or it is passing. And there is a loathing or a regret that comes to humanity when we think about something that we enjoy or that brings us pleasure or that we like, that it comes and in one moment and we enjoy it and we want it to stay, but then it has to pass away and then it goes away. So there is a real frustration with that in our humanity. And so the way we escape the feeling of that we feel when someone is in our life and they pass away, or someone is young and then they become old, we talk about people going through midlife crisis and things like those. Though, to escape that, what we do is we figure, let's detach from the temporary and the natural, and let's really connect to the eternal and the spiritual, and that will save us from the frustration of the pleasures that we enjoy in the natural passing away. But that's the beauty of life in itself. That's the beauty of the natural and of the pleasure, is that it comes and it goes. It is transient, that it is flowing and moving, and it comes in a moment, and you must seize it at the right moment, like dancing to a rhythm. You got to actually get into life and seize the moment. That's the beauty of it. Life would be very plain and very boring if everybody got to 25 and just stayed 25 years old, if it was always summertime, if it was never wintertime, if it was always light and never darkness. You can't even understand the light without the darkness, because without the dark tones, it would just be white light. It wouldn't be any colors as you perceive them now. So the idea is, you need yin and yang. You need the negative and the positive. You need those things to flow off of themselves. And life teaches us this. This is not just something that's just, you know, pulled out of the air. Life teaches you this.
Okay, great. We have a caller calling in with a question or comment. Desiree, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I'm here.
Go ahead with your question or comment.
Okay, my comment is more so directed towards the previous comment concerning sensual, and spiritual. I feel as though when one goes to church to seek guidance, for those of us that are all three of those adjectives, I would just say, we're frowned upon because we feel as though we're leading a double life when we're seeking this guidance in the church. And I just feel like that's one of the biggest hypocritical things that deters me from going to church on a regular basis, because I feel like I know I'm sinning and I'm going into the house of the Lord to worship, but I've just committed an ultimate sin. So it's really just a comment and not a question, and I just wanted to see if you guys had any feedback.
Okay, thank you, Desiree, for calling, and we appreciate you for calling Amongst Friends. We also have another call on the line, Adrian. Adrian, are you there? Okay, maybe he or she will call back in and join us. Pastor Zero, what are your comments behind that young lady? Because we do many times during these conversations that we have on Amongst Friends have many callers who are deterred from coming to church because they're not allowed to be expressive in who they are by way of love, sexuality, and, you know, spirituality.
Well, the short answer is you should find a better church. You should find one that serves you well. That's the first thing. And I would say this to every listener out there. Listen, this is the generation where you have to understand your personal responsibility for your success and for your winning. Don't be loyal to a fault. That's the short answer. The second thing is that the members of the body have got to understand that many of the leaders do not understand how to deal with this subject. They don't really have a clue. The only thing they have to offer you is what has been said for hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how it works or doesn't work, regardless of where they are, they repeat it because they have nothing else to say. And, again, it's an indictment to us being in tune and in touch with God so that we can receive what is the way forward for us? I would say the plain fact of the matter is that, again, you cannot deny your sexuality. You don't have to, when a teenager is going through puberty and they have a wet dream, and they have that first orgasm or that experience, they don't have to be doing anything sexual or nasty. Their body just attunes and aligns to a place in its growth where this naturally occurs because your sexuality belongs to you. It is God-given.
Mm. And Pastor, just to add to that, to the caller that called, I think a lot of times the two things that the church and I guess we'll just say the secular, just for lack of better words, but the two things that the church and the secular people have in common is that they have a ginormous misconception of sex and sexuality, and the misconception is that it is a dirty thing that you're supposed to keep secret. And I think that is what has made it difficult for both people in church and people out of church to fully embrace and express their sexuality. I think, you know, even for the young lady that called in, I think, you know, you can be sexual, you can be sensual, and you can be spiritual because, one, sex came from a spiritual being, and not just any spiritual being, but it came from the Almighty God. And he made it, you know, whatever he made, it was perfect. It's a gift to us. I think we have kind of, you know, put the negative connotation toward it. We have abused it. We have perverted it or whatever you want to say. And so we just have to get to a place, okay, what did God intend for us to do with our sex and sexuality, you know, because he gives us a gift, but he teaches us, he tells us how to use it. And how to appreciate it.
Absolutely. And I think you said it so finely, you know, the key thing is that there's so much misconception, and I think we should also be understanding of the fact that, again, these misconceptions are not just simple misconceptions. These are century and years and generations of roots of this kind of passing down the same thing to the next thing, this information down, or whether it works or not, because someone said that it was right and no one decided to check it or verify it or even be sensitive to God to hear, God, let me serve you in my generation, as David did. Mm. No one does that. They just take what was passed down, and really, because it's so deeply rooted in us, it's cause for a lot of hurt. A lot of people are sitting up under guilt and feeling bad and going through these psychological circles and cycles of, Lord, forgive me, I want to be better. And then ultimately you find that people break down up under this cycle. They break down and start turning on themselves because they start saying, I'm no good, I'm not worthy, I'm weak, because I can't get it right. Even with God's help, I can't get it right. I'm the worst of the worst. And people turn on themselves, and we find This is why people are disturbed the way they are. And we look at them and we shake our head at the people, but it's because of what we have served up as truth, which is really men's interpretation of what we think God might have said.
Exactly. And I'm sorry, I kind of get, you know, I love these conversations, but I think also a part of that deep-rooted misconception, because you're right, it is based on generational practices. It is based on empty, convoluted religious practices and things like that. But I think also it's kind of deep based on how we are as human beings. We tend to just deal with the surface, you know, not just in our spiritual life, but in our own personal lives, in our emotional lives, and the way we communicate. We just sit at the top. We deal with everything that's at the top. And I think people, even in trying to express their sexuality, they just deal with the surface part of it, the base, you know. So they get this idea that I'm only sexy or I'm only sexual when I'm dressed a certain way. If I have on a certain type of dress or my hair is this way, or I'm only sexual in the bedroom, or I'm only sexy when I have on my makeup. And the thing about sexuality is so much deeper than that. And it actually, you know, is based on a lot more than just what you wear. So you can walk on there and you can be the most conservative woman or man coming in church with, you know, just regular clothes, not even something, you know, what people would deem too short, too tight, or what have you. But you come in there and you can be conservatively dressed and you are exuding sexiness that is not negative, but people can see that and they welcome it because of the attitude and the spirit that you're bringing forth, because you have this understanding of what sexuality, you have a deeper understanding of what it is. And it's not just how I'm dressing or the way I talk and things like that, which people just tend to kind of stay in the surface. So if you don't get to wear your short skirt that's revealing, you're not sexy, you know. And that's kind of the thing that people, if I'm not walking around with my, not that I do it, but I'm not walking around with a shirt that show off my muscles and I ain't got oil everywhere, I'm not sexy, you know. And so those are I think in addition to our misconception, it's just moving past the surface of what society views as sexy and sexual and what we kind of have learned that sex, you know, is.
Yeah, and I'll say this to you as one more last thing concerning that, and that is, you know, well said what you just said, and that is, it's going to take, before we can change the misconceptions and before we can actually present or represent the way forward concerning our sexuality, our human sexuality, every person is going to have to take it upon themselves to take the idea of sex out of the gutter and clean it off and stop feeling it dirty. It's a difficult thing to do. It's going to be difficult. It's going to take some time. But we've got to do it. We've got to stop seeing it as something nasty, dirty, dark. And beneath all of that, I think that's kind of a way that we use that's kind of a prurient way that we try to turn ourselves on in a deep kind of a subconscious way by making it dirty and secretive and shrouded in darkness. But we've got to take sexuality out of the basement, out of the dark, and clean it off and really deal with it as an issue that is essential to life and happiness and success. That's the only way we can really move forward. So other than that, we really won't make progress with the issue of sexuality.
All right. Pastor, we have another question that just came in. It said, how will I know when I'm in love?
Love this question. How will I know when I'm in love? Well, the way you will know that you're in love is that you have to first understand what love is. Love is very, very misconcepted also. It's very convoluted, is a word that was just used. The idea of love, what is love, is very important. Like, there's a song, Melanie Fiona has a song called 4 a.m. The verse of the song starts off saying, sitting here feeling kind of crazy. but not just any kind of crazy. It's the kind of crazy you feel when you love somebody. Now, if you think about this from a spiritual perspective, this is the most ignorant thing that could be said. But here's what's honest about that song. That song, that verse right there, expresses many generations' idea of what love is. So if you think love is anything like that, something that makes you go crazy or gives you a license to hurt somebody because they didn't please you or give you what you wanted, if that's your idea of love, you are confused, you really don't know love, and you've never been in love, and anything that you thought was love really was confusion and some kind of a strange mental place that you were in. It was deception, in a word. And so people define love in many, many different ways in our generation, but we have to really understand what love is. I'm more than excited to go into the definition of love.
Go for it.
Okay. If you really want to understand love, you first have to understand that love is... I'm getting a lot of feedback. You have to understand that love is... Can you hear me?
We can.
Okay, great. If you really want to understand love, you have to unlearn all of the confused definitions of love that you may have picked up from songs and poetry. And by the way, love is always this idea of love that I just expressed to you, that we think, you know, deep affections, intense feelings of sexual attractions, rage, anger, craziness, all that stuff being defined as love, all came in throughout history, and it came in through poetry, through singers, through entertainers, throughout time. They introduced that kind of idea to love, and so we have just over years embraced it as our definition. But if you really want to know what love is, love has about three main components to it. It has acknowledgement, acceptance, and validation. Most people in church, Christians, when they think about love, always taught, you know, like John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Or you read the scripture where Jesus says, greater love hath no man than to lay down his life for a friend. So what oftentimes spiritual people try to do is they try to define love as sacrificial giving. But what I would want to say to you is that giving is a small part of love. It is a part of love, but it's the smallest and the beginning stage of love. It's like having a kidney that's only, you know, only having 30% functionality of your kidney. That wouldn't be helpful to you. You need your kidney to be working 100% for it to cleanse your blood so that you don't get poisoned and die. Same thing with love. You can't just understand sacrificial giving and say, I understand love, because there's a portion of love when you mature in love or grow in love that says, I'm willing to acknowledge you and accept you how you are, the way that you are. And let me give you a very fundamental example, a metaphor that will help us, you know, understand love the way we're supposed to understand it. And that is, if you were going to buy a used car and you went and saw the car, you liked the way it looked, you liked the interior, the price was right, and you were going to buy this used car, and they told you it was running fine, but you didn't really know whether it's running good or not because you're not really a mechanic. And you called a friend of yours who was a mechanic, and they came over to where you were, and they looked at the car, looked under the hood, checked everything, took it for a spin, and they came back to you and said, no, this is a bad deal, don't buy it. Or they say, yes, buy it. Then you would have somebody that comes alongside of you, that stands with you, who knows more than you know, helping you make the right decision in that particular instance, because they understood things that you could not understand. And I want you to see love as your mechanic. God gives us love
to guide us, to protect us, to teach us. Love investigates. Love considers, and love explains. So what happens is when you're in a relationship with somebody and you meet them, all you can say is that you like them so far. You can say, I like you so far. That's called the so far principle. You can't just say you like somebody because you don't even know them yet. And we can talk about that when we get into the dating portion. But when you're dealing in love, love is God's gift to you to keep you safe. And let me say this, and everybody make this central to the idea of love. God gave us love so that everybody involved in any relationship would win, so there would be no losers. Love is designed so that I can't take advantage of you and you can't take advantage of me. Love protects you and me. And so God gives you love so that when somebody's talking to you, you don't just hear what they're saying, you hear what they're not saying. God gives you love so that you can understand when they're not saying anything that they're still saying a whole lot. And so love, when you walk in it in a mature sense, it's not just giving, sacrificial giving. It's me saying, I see who you are, how you are, what you're doing, what it is that you want. Even if you're not telling me what you want to do and what you want, I can see it. And guess what? I accept it, which is a word, a C word called cooperation. And most people fail in love because they can't handle the mature level of love, which is cooperation. If a person doesn't want you or doesn't want to respond to you, you have to look at that, accept it, and cooperate with it. But what most people do is they'll go around what they see somebody showing them as the truth, and love is telling you they're not really into you, or they're not really interested like they should be, or they're not really good for you. You'll go around that, and you'll tap into hope and say, well, I hope it works out. I'm going to see if I can't force it or manipulate it or make it work the way I want. You'll get slipped into hope rather than accepting and cooperating with what love just told you. And another example of that is women often say, you know, I'm a woman and, you know, I have women's intuition. Listen, stop saying that, ladies. You don't have women's intuition. That's love telling you something. Before you ever check your cell phone or you go through the computer or you start looking for anything, when you start feeling a sense of there's something not right, that's love talking to you. That ain't that. And most of us don't know what love is, so we don't call it love. We call it intuition, a hunch, all this other stuff. But that's God's divine, innate love that he gave to you to guide you, to protect you, to teach you, to investigate for you. So guess what? For all y'all that's begging for somebody to tell you the truth, they ain't got to tell you the truth. Love telling you the truth. If you would trust love, you can go about your business and save yourself 90 days of pain, frustration, money, anger, sitting outside their house, breaking stuff, stay away orders, and all that other good stuff. I'm done.
It makes sense. Before we go there, we have another question. This is a tough one. This question says, I want to make sure I say this right. Sex outside of marriage, if it's a choice and a commitment between two people, is it okay?
Sex outside of marriage. That's a big topic. And you know what? Honestly, I don't know if the church is really ready for that, because what you're really talking about is premarital sex. What history has done from the forefathers of the church, now, when I say the forefathers of the church, I'm talking about from about the time of Paul, St. Paul, who writes three-fourths of the New Testament, and the fathers after him, as they begin to define the idea of sexual immorality and fornication, what they did was it morphed every idea. They basically put every sexual act, anything sexually done that's not in the confines of marriage, as sexual immorality. That was the interpretation. There's not a scripture that breaks that down and says that that's the truth. That's the father's interpretation, and that interpretation has been passed down, that fornication was sex outside of marriage. Somehow the definition of adultery became when a man cheats on his wife, but that's not necessarily the scripture that they use to talk about adultery. don't even really support that as adultery. The adultery means something totally else by the scripture that they use. So, again, a lot of it boils down to interpretation. So the bottom line is, throughout history, what happened was any sex outside of marriage was considered sexual immorality and fornication and wrong. Now, personally, Pastor Durrell does not believe that that's necessarily true. I don't believe that that's true. First of all, there are scriptures, first of all, that support the fact that people that were engaged to each other that hadn't been married yet were even commanded to go and have sex. That's in your Bible. Then the Christian church tried to make a case that masturbation was against God's law and his rules. There's no scripture at all supporting the idea that masturbation is wrong, pleasuring yourself is wrong. And the idea of fornication, which the word fornication comes from the word pornea, meaning sexual immorality or illegal sexual acts, which I would call rape, or molestation or bestiality, that somehow premarital sex between two consenting adults also fell into that category. I personally don't believe that that's necessarily true. I don't believe that it's a law against two consenting adults to choose to engage in sex. I don't think that you can necessarily, that doesn't mean, and that's not me saying you should go out and have sex and everybody should be free to do whatever they want to do. I think you still have to understand what's best for you, because celibacy might be the thing for you. Just don't try to make it a law for everybody else. And no premarital sex may be the right thing for you. Just don't try to make it a law for everybody else. There's no need to make it a law if we trust God and trust people and self-correction to do what is best for themselves and for each other. Again, that's back to love. If we're walking in love, I'm going to do what's best for me, loving myself, and I'm going to do what's best for my brother or my sister because I love them. But these laws and this legalistic approach to any sexual contact, anything done sexually outside of marriage is wrong and sinful, and you're going to receive a curse from God. I think it's time the church just come out and say that that's really a misconception.
Well, all right. That sounds good information for that person. We hope that you'll join us in this conversation. We do see that we have several listeners, and folks in the chat room are going back and forth, and we appreciate that. Call us at 760-683-2662. Again, that number is 760-683-2662. And press 1 if you'd like to have a question or a comment to share with our special guest tonight is Pastor Durrell, and he's discussing love, sex, relationships, and spirituality from his series, The Conference, Soul Works 3, Body Heat, Love, and Relationships Reworked. Do we have any other questions from our panel? Other hosts, any questions, comments?
Somebody had a question?
Yeah, go ahead, Deidre. Deidre.
Deidre? No, I'm. All I can say is wow, and almost. Yeah.
Why are you saying wow, Deidre?
All that he just said was a lot to digest, and
Are you free to have sex now?
No. And let me say this, too, and I want to hear, Deidre, I do want to hear your comment. I just want to say this just for the benefit of the listeners, because I don't want people to think that I'm insensitive to the position of the church that the church has taken for many, many years. I'm not insensitive to that. I just feel that, you know, at some point we have to push a little bit, push ourselves and challenge ourselves to stand up in understanding. But I want to say, you know, one thing, and that is, I did state that I don't know if the church is necessarily ready for that, but also, you know, the real truth of the matter is that from the pulpit to the door in the church particularly, it's funny that it's like it's okay to have sex, but it's not okay to say, you know, that, you know, consensual sex between two consenting adults it's not something that you God is just getting ready to strike you down about, even though they're doing it. And somehow we figure if we don't say it, but just do it and then ask for grace and mercy to come in, somehow that works out for us in the end in heaven and stuff. And so I just think that that's kind of flawed. And I just want to put that out there to say, you know, that I'm not giving people a license to run and go have sex. I'm setting you free, in a sense, to trust God and do what is best for you moving forward. And that may not mean having sex. And certainly anybody who's having sex or who's going to have sex, they didn't need my permission to do it, or my philosophy or my understanding of where we are. They didn't need that. They're going to do what they're going to do anyways.
Go ahead, Deidre.
I'm still wow.
Why are you wild? This is the conversation we have, and why are you wild?
Because I am wild. I'm gonna read what one of the chatter said. It says, it all makes sense, but goes against the values that have been taught. But how many of us have really lived up to those values anyway?
Mm-hmm.
Just because I may not have lived up to the values or moral standards of the church doesn't mean just because I like to have sex or I want to have sex or I've had sex in the past doesn't mean that just because it works for me that's what I'm supposed to be doing. There has to be some form of, there has to be a standard. And what you're saying right now is, you're right. Your understanding or your belief or whatever it's too much for me.
I understand that, and I'll say this to Deidre, that you know, you say there's got to be a standard. There is a standard. The standard is love. Love is the standard. I don't see why do we? It's like we call God's grace amazing grace. We sing about it and call it amazing grace, but then we don't really trust it to really keep us or catch us when we fall or to cover us or to put. We don't really trust it. We call it amazing, but we won't let it be amazing for us. And the same thing with love. Love is so powerful. And we say God so loved the world that He took on the sins of the whole wide world, and we see how powerful love is. But at the same time, we don't see that as the standard. We see the standard as the rules and regulations as they've been passed down and interpreted. And all I'm saying is that you don't have to even take my word for it. And I'm not saying because I don't live up to the standard, I want to change the standard for me. That's not about changing the standard. I'm talking about what we have created as the standard. I think it's not helpful to us. It's actually caused more harm and more damage. And if you look at it, if you study the history, just a little bit, if you just study the history and look into it, a lot of what we have that we have seen are God's standards have been men's interpretation of that truth.
That's all it
is. And that's the hard thing for the church to accept.
Man, that's serious right there. That's serious talk right there. And I think I did have a question for you, Pastor, but I wanted to say that I definitely think that my issue has been not exactly what has been taught, because I think that in taught in the right context and taught in the right way, that it is beneficial to not just Christians, but to people in society, especially if it is, you know, taught in the right context, in the right way. I think the problem is, where, and I'm not going to even say just the church. I don't want to put everything on the church, but I'm going to say people, parents of people of the kingdom, parents in the kingdom who are instructed to raise their children, and grandparents, and people that tell stories and pass values and norms through storytelling and things like that, have dropped the ball because we've just said this is what it is, but never went in in detail or never kind of really sat down and really taught what it means, and it's just going off, like you said, based what I've learned or this is my interpretation. 'Cause, you know, and they can just say, okay, do not have sex, but no one said, you know, no one really said why not to have sex outside of marriage, or they didn't teach, okay, how to deal with or how to cope with or how to manage or embrace your sexuality and the feelings and the urges that you have no control over. You know, no one went into detail of why it's important, you know, why even people don't even really go into detail as to why is it important to love Jesus. Like, why do we love Jesus? Why should we, why is he the only way? Why is he, you know, no one, they just said, this is what you got to do or you go to hell, you know, and no one really, to me, my opinion, they drop the ball and people kind of shy away from that. Or they run away from that when you get to, you know, the drug dealers or the sex magazines or, you know, pornography and all of those other things. They go into detail. They spend time with you. They build intimate, because here again, his intimacy is just another thing that people misconceive. Intimacy is just spending that time pouring into people. And I'm going to tell you that I've seen growing up and even transitioning from being someone who is learning to someone who teaches, people learn better and accept and grasp and stay interested when you can go into detail, intimate detail about what you're teaching or giving them to learn. And I think that's where we have failed.
Sure. I think, you know, that's been the problem with the sexuality piece, that the only doctrine the church has served up is don't do it until you get married. And the reason why is because God doesn't like it and God thinks it's dirty. Now, God gave it to us and God put it in us intrinsically, but somehow it's dirty and it's filthy. I'm going to tell you, you know, anybody who thinks that the church, all churches, you know, religion, the way it's formed, it's presented in a way where you're not allowed to challenge it or question it. You have to accept what it says, the way it says it, because everybody's signing God's signature to everything. So if you change it or question it, you're going against God. And they've used that to keep people immature and ignorant. And if you don't think that people, that church and the powers that be are not getting rich off of immaturity and ignorance, keeping you fighting out of a hole or trying to pay your way out of a hole or give your way out of a hole, like again, we understand that the only definition of love in the church, we understand, is sacrificial giving. If you give, lay down your life, or Christ gave his life, giving is the only definition of love. If you don't understand it as cooperation, you never really see cooperation lets you move on with your life. Giving more and more lets you be loyal to a fault if you keep giving. But cooperation with somebody lets you move on with your life. When they don't want you, you say, I accept the fact that you don't want me, and I move on with my life. And I don't have to feel like, oh, I can't live without you and all this other desperate stuff that I believe the church ultimately gets, not just the church, but it's not just our church, not just the main Christian church, the Catholic church is I'm sorry.
That's okay. We have a caller from Maryland. We have Penelope on the line. Penelope, welcome to Amongst Friends. What's your question or comment?
Hi, thank you. Just had a question. How do you not cheat when you and your partner have two totally different sex drives? Mine is pretty aggressive. His is pretty passive at this point, and it seems to be a struggle.
All right, Penelope. You know, that's going. I think that there's something else around in the context of that. I don't think it's as cut and dried as, you know, just, you know, I'm super sexual, they're not really that sexual. If I was sitting down with you, I'd ask you to tell me about what else is imbalanced like that. That kind of goes back to the, you know, being equally yoked with someone. There's probably some other things in that context of y'all's relationship that don't necessarily add up. And so I would ask you probably to, you know, this is why love is necessary, because again, love investigates for you, and love will see other things that are there, because sometimes it's not you accepting that a person doesn't want you. Sometimes it's you having to accept that I'm not the best person for you. You know what I'm saying?
But it's my husband.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Well, okay. And I understand that, and that's, I'm glad that you threw that twist into it, because there's a lot of people that are in marriages that I don't, and I'm not suggesting this about your marriage. I want to use your marriage as a teaching tool, okay, Penelope? And that is that there's a lot of people that are in relationships or in marriages, again, that they will just take, I'm taking a shot in the dark. They were hoping it's going to work out. They weren't really sure or didn't really feel guided through the process of the dating and the whole nine yards, and probably ignored a lot of real, real signs. That could be the case with you, Penelope, but maybe it's not. I think in your situation, you all both, first of all, you should sit down with each other, be real honest about it, and both of you appeal to love. Tell me this about your husband, and that is he open to having conversations with you about that, and how on board is he with you to solving you all's problems in general? Like, do you all do really well with solving other problems that you have?
There are some opportunities.
There's some opportunities?
Mm-hmm.
No, I want to know, when you all run into other situations where there is a conflict or a disagreement, is he with you? Is he on board with you, or are you on board with him to sit down and say, baby, we can work through this? I mean, are y'all together with trying to solve the problems? Normally.
No. No.
Okay. Well, that's what I meant in the very beginning when I said there's probably some other things in the context of what's going on that's probably suggesting that you guys are now in a difficult situation. And what I would suggest for you is that you come sit down with myself, or you go sit down with someone that can guide you all through a honorable combing through your marriage, and you know where you all are at, and the best way forward. Because at the end of the day, I have a lot of things to say about marriage too, and about relationships and things like this. But at the end of the day, your health and his health, your happiness, his happiness, are important. Your heart is important, and his heart is important. And no one has to really be a bad guy because you're here and you're here. You need to comb through some serious things. I don't think it's a simple answer. So my advice would be to, you know, come sit down with someone, you know, and really comb through it, and you will discover more things, and you can have some, maybe learn some effective ways to deal with that stuff, you know.
Okay. How do I get your contact information?
Say it again.
How do I get your contact information?
You can get my contact information. You can get me on Facebook. If you go to Facebook under Darrell Owens, or you can just dial in on your Facebook, Soulworks 2020. Soulworks 2020.
Okay.
That's my relationship page. Like the page if you're on Facebook, and then shoot me a message behind the doors, and I'll get back to you.
Okay. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Penelope, for your call. And if you have a comment or a question, please join us at 760-683-2662. Again, that number is 760-683-2662. We know that some of you were disconnected or were unable to get through, so we are working on those difficulties. And please call us back with your questions or comments.
Yes, this is John.
Go ahead.
This is Jeff. I've been listening, and I think I've been listening like Deidre with my mouth wide open. I agree. It's a lot to take in, but I have to say that I feel that everything that Pastor Darrell is saying is an evolution of mindset, and it's an evolution of mindset that a lot of people need to grasp toward, and I'm wondering how many other persons like Pastor Darrell were in his graduating class at the seminary, because there needs to be a network of this, and it needs to be one Pastor Darrell in every state letting out.
Can I say something before anybody says anything? Now, Pastor Darrell, that's Jeff. And okay. You may not have heard Jeff on the show, but if you've ever heard him, he gives preachers and pastors a way to go. And very rarely, if I can say respectfully, go to church. Okay? So for Jeff to make that comment.
For Jeff to say that?
For Jeff to say that, it's big.
Wow. Wow.
It's real big.
It's big. That's big.
Okay. That's pretty big. Okay. I'm going to take that as the ultimate compliment. And
yes, sir.
I would just say that, you know, it's a responsible way that we can talk about these issues, and we don't have to be, you know, nasty and inconsiderate and disrespectful, you know, to other people's convictions and things like that, because I do respect people who respectfully disagree. You know what I'm saying?
And I have another question.
Go ahead, Joey, with your question.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to ask, because it's just a whole lot that I can ask, but one of the things is, what are one of the biggest principles principles or proponents that you kind of teach in the conference? Like, what is one thing, like one principle that you kind of expounded on in the conference?
Well, there were a lot of them. I think, you know, the one is that y'all were so gracious to let me really take my time and the best of my ability to explain the principle of love. I think that is the core and the key. What's so powerful about what I explained to you about love being the mechanic, and, you know, guiding you, investigating for you, and telling you truth that other people may never admit to you. You know, like, you have females oftentimes who say they're begging a guy, they're crying out, tell me the truth, just tell me the truth, I ain't going to be mad, tell me the truth. They want to hear this truth. It's like, but you already know it. That's why you're begging him to tell you, because you already know it. And so love has already told you what it is. It's just, will you grow up in love and accept it? So cooperation, which is the mature side of love, not just the giving part of love, it's the mature side of love, is the biggest principle. And what's so powerful about it is that it doesn't just help you in intimate relationships between male and female, or your love partners. It'll help you with your sister and your brother. It'll help you with your people who are falling out with their parents, and people who are in conflict with their best friends. Love allows you to move on in a healthy way and protects you in these different relationships, because love is just that powerful. And if you ever get that principle, you'll find a right understanding of love will cause you to have good success in relationships. And really, this dating and having healthy friendships is really the practice test for marriage. You know what I'm saying? For marriage. If you fail at being a good friend, or being a good son, or being a good brother, or being a good friend to people in general around you, that's like failing in college. You know, you being a horrible football player in college, but then you want to go to the pros. Marriage is like the pros. If you fail in college, if you're a horrible player in college, what makes you think you're going to go to the pros and be okay living with somebody 16 hours a day, sleeping beside them, if you can't get along with people that you ain't got to be with all day and every day? You know what I'm saying?
That's true. Then I have another question. I have another question.
Okay.
And this is for Deidre. But Pastor, do you believe that, and we've had this argument several times on the show, I have two questions actually, but the first one is, do you believe, or what are your thoughts on there being one person made for you? Because some of us on the show believe that there's one person that was created and made for you, and that's your person. And then others believe that you can find love and happiness and ultimately marry someone who, you know, and it's not just one person, but it's possible that you can find a person rather than finding your one, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah, I understand that. The simple and short answer is that I disagree that there's one person in the whole world that is for you. I think for that to be true, that would mean that there would be no remarriage after, you know, a mate died, you know, if we really believe that. But nobody really believes that after your mate dies that you can't get remarried, then it would be another person. You know what I'm saying? That's just one thing. I don't believe that it's one person. I think that there are only right people for you. And The only way to know who those right people are for you is to trust love. First of all, know love, and then trust love. Love will protect you. Love will guide you. Love will make it so that you come out standing on your feet and not on your back. And ultimately, if more people understood love in the right way, in the right context, you'd see a lot more happy relationships, because the right people would be the right people.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, we're down to our last 30 minutes, so if you have a question or comment, you want to get that in, hit us at 760-683-2662. Again, that number is 760-683-2662. Pastor, we do want to get to talking about dating, and I have gotten a few questions on that. One of the primary questions kind of leads from what Joey was just talking about, being, is there one person or is there a right person? And what the question is in dating, many times people seem to assume that you're promiscuous when you're dating multiple people. So is dating something that you can, or is it something where you can go out with this gentleman tonight, there's no commitment, you all like, you enjoy each other's company, and then you want to go out with someone else, and vice versa for men and women? Is that an okay place for a Christian to be in?
Well, I mean, it's an okay place for anybody who chooses to be in that place. It's okay for them to be there. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, it may be wrong for you, and when I say that, meaning that you have to ask yourself personally, and this is the real truth of the matter, that everybody who wants to succeed with dating, who's listening to this show right now, if you want to succeed in dating and interacting with the opposite sex in a successful, healthy way, you have to grow up. You have to take responsibility for yourself, and you have to be honest about what's good for you and what's wrong for you. It's not wrong to go out, you know, five nights a week with five different people if you choose to do that. But you have to ask yourself, does that serve me well? Do I have time to go out with five different people? And you'll find that if you're trusting love to show you, you don't need 21 days or 30 days or 60 days to know whether somebody's right for you. You can know about one conversation perhaps, because, again, when they're saying one thing, you can hear what they're not saying. And sometimes love will just tell you this ain't the one, and you just know it's not the one. And if you just go with that instead of saying, but he got a good job or she's got money and I'm just going to stick with this, or she's different than the women I always choose, you can't use those little things as anchors and be loyal to a fault. You have to give somebody an opportunity to show themselves to you, show yourself to them, and say, I like you so far, or, you know, I don't think this is going to work, and you move on. But it's really about what's healthy for you. I mean, you know, what's can you handle, you know, going out every week with somebody different? It might be a little waste of your time, or not the best way to spend it.
Pastor Dale.
Okay, Pastor, we have callers on the line.
Before you put them on the line, I just want to say, out of all the stuff he has said tonight, that last part is what I wholeheartedly agree with. Okay, now go ahead to your callers.
Okay.
Oh, please.
Okay. All right.
We have Tiffany from Chicago. Tiffany, welcome to Amongst Friends. What's your question or comment?
My comment was just that you all kind of quickly went past. I'm new to the area, and I'm so glad that I got on tonight. Pastor Darrell, can you elaborate more about your church? And because so many of us are struggling with finding the right church, finding the right place for us, and like they just said, Jeff Harley goes, many of us hardly go because there's so much going on in the church. So if you could just take this just a second and pause from that and kind of help some of us that need to find a place.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's an awesome position to put me in because, you know, I am a pastor, and so, you know, I have colleagues and friends that are pastors, and I love them dearly, but I don't believe that all of them serve us well as a body. I don't think that they're all necessarily equipped or have the understanding that they need to serve this generation correctly. So the church situation is very grim. It's grim. But guess what? There are churches out there, particularly like my church. And when I say my church, it's not because I need to drum up members. I promise you, I don't false advertise or sell hype. When you come into my church, first of all, you feel a significant, meaningful presence of love and safety. You feel safe in the church, meaning you don't feel judged. We're not saying we don't judge. You don't feel like you're going to be judged. You don't feel on Front Street. You don't feel condemned. As a matter of fact, there's something that kind of attracts you to the church because of the standards that we have set. I don't see as many churches as it is. The majority of them are not churches that I would necessarily suggest, and that's just honest. But there are some, and what I intend on doing at some point is compiling a list of churches in the area that I feel are options for people who, first of all, are seeking to know God in a meaningful way, who want to escape the religion and the bondage of traditions and the old way models, the old models of church, and people who actually want to be free and want to actually grow up in God and get their life on track and actually moving forward. I'm gonna compile a list and put it on our website, put it on our Facebook page. But don't let me off the hook with that. Mm-hmm. Go to Facebook if you are on Facebook and dial in Darrell Owens or SoulWorks 2020 mm-hmm. and like the page. Send me a message and let me know what area you are in, and let me either get you a ride over to our church or you know, suggest a place that's maybe you know more convenient in your area that may be a good place for you to begin to walk with God.
All right, Pastor, we have Tasha. Thank you, Tiffany. We have Tasha on the line from D.C. Tasha, welcome to Amongst Friends.
How you doing this evening?
Hi, Pastor
Darrell. I was curious what your vision is. I'm a very, I think my gift is to take a vision and create, like, an actual thing from it. And so, you know, I hear what you're saying. I haven't had a chance to attend your conference event. But what else is your vision around how churches would address these issues? Would it be workshops? Would it be during a sermon? If you want to get advice on how to tune into this love energy, because to me, I call it God consciousness. It's what we all are given as children of God, that we have a higher mind that instructs us on the right way to live according to who we are, and it's what I'm hearing you saying. But so based on all of these topics, what's your vision? What would it look like? Would it look like every Sunday? Would it look like classes during the week? How would if you could design a church to do exactly what you're talking about, what would it look like?
It would look just like my church, Tasha. It would look just like my church. You come to my church, first of all, in our church, one of the great things about our church is, first of all, we have a principle where we teach in a way that God is good at home. And so when we say God is good at home, what we mean is that You can go into a store and you can buy something off the shelf, like a remote control, and you can look at it and read on it, and you'll be like, ooh, this is going to be like that. When I get this remote control, it's going to be the best remote control. You pay $50 for the remote control, and it tells you all this stuff that it can do, and you're all excited about it. When you get home and take it out, put the batteries in, and you start trying to work it, you find out that it's complicated, it's awkward, and it was great when it was in the store and you bought it, but when you got it home, it wasn't good. And oftentimes we get things, and when we get them home, they don't work for us. And so we have a principle called God good at home, and that means that we break spirituality down and walking with God down in such a tangible, meaningful way that God is good at home. This is not something, we don't have, nothing in our church suggests for you to act one way when you walk in the door. You walk in the door the way you always are, and when you leave out better to be better from everywhere you go from there. So wherever you go, and when you get God home, at home, he works for you. Everything that we teach can work. Actually, you can see it in your life. We've stripped all of those meaningless doctrines away and everything that would, and we simplified it in such a way where basically you can fall in love with God all over again and live a meaningful spiritual life and a meaningful natural life in such a awesome way. And I find this, that we don't have to solve a whole lot of problems, that when you come into our church and get on the diet, problems start working themselves out. All you got to do is start get in the diet or get in the flow of what we do. And so I think all of those models and molds that you named, seminars, tapes, conferences, Sunday mornings, Facebook, all those medias and modes are ways that you got to get that word out. The problem is there are many of the people who hold themselves out as teachers or experts or the ones who know the way really don't know the way. They just don't know. And they have too much pride to admit that they don't know, so they'll beat you over the head with something that somebody told them that didn't work for them and didn't work for them. And even if they don't live it, they'll tell you to live it.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So I would say my motto, my church is the vision of what I would see as a church. You know, I don't think you can find, there's a lot of churches that can't beat our church. If you're talking about spirit, love, acceptance, and meaning, and safety, you really can't beat our church.
Thank you so much, Tasha, for calling in. Pastor, we have a question came in through our page. And the question is, the Bible says man and woman. Does the church support this same-sex dating marriage foolishness? Remember, the Bible says.
All right. That's an obvious answer that the church does not support same-sex marriages. I don't know why y'all want me to jump on these topics.
Can I just say I don't want you to, but I had to put the question out there. I don't want you to.
But I've been sent to this generation, and I'm not going to hold back. I'm going to be bold, and don't be afraid, because I'm not about to endorse anything or anything like that. Here's what I would say to that. First of all, the church's position is that that same-sex relationships are not God's will. That's not what God's will is. And of course, the people who support the same-sex idea, they even promote the idea that you're born that way. I have different convictions about the whole subject, different thoughts. But I would say this at the end of the day. I have members who are gay. I have couples that are gay that attend our church, and I really don't treat them any different than the other couples, and I'm certainly not beating them over the head with a scripture pulled out of context about what God wants and what God doesn't want. I believe, honestly, that first of all, the relationship, all these relationships are still earthly relationships that we're having. We're using our spirituality to have them safely and successfully, but they are still earthly and natural relationships. And that at the end of the day, I don't think that God is as concerned about the homosexual relationship as the church is saying that he is. I just don't believe that he is. God is a spirit. Man looketh at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. When we get into the spirit or into Christ, there is no male or female. And I just don't think that it matters to God the way the church has said that it does.
I'm totally down with what you're saying right now, Pastor Owens, because the rest of the crew will tell you I'm a little twisted in my thinking, but here it is. If I really do think that if God the Almighty did not want an invention or something that he created, which was, I do believe that he put homosexuality here on this planet. It's been here, Adam, Eve, prostitution, homosexuality. It's been around for ages. And I do think that if he wanted it gone, it would be gone.
Yeah. Yeah, well, absolutely, exactly.
I don't know that I'd agree with that, because if God wanted killing to be gone, it would be gone. If God wanted, I mean, you could apply that to so many things. So I don't know if we're gonna go there with that.
But you would also have to not assume that God wants killing gone, like they assume that he wants homosexuality gone.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't think it's fair for you to come and make a statement that, you know, well, if God wanted homosexuality gone, he would make it gone. Okay, well, if he wanted lying gone, if he wanted killing gone, if he wanted all of these things gone, he has the ability to do so, but it doesn't necessarily happen that way, because there could be lesson in all of it. So I'm just saying, you can't just put it out there like that.
Well, based on what you just said, it doesn't really strike his statement. It just kind of extends his statement. You know, basically, I mean, we could all agree that if God wanted it gone, it would be gone. If God wanted to stop something, he could stop it and be nothing nobody could do about it. I mean, if he wanted it, but apparently he has not wanted it to be gone. And that doesn't necessarily mean that God endorses it, this or that. Like I said, I don't think that God cares as much as we say he cares about it as an issue. As much as we make an issue of it, I don't think that it's an issue for God the way it is for us. I don't think it is.
And just to add on to that really quickly, because this is something that people will go back and forth about, especially homosexuality and things like that. But here's what I do agree with, even in what Jeff has said, is that, and what you said, Pastor, is that I also don't think that God is up there, you know, on a lot of issues, not just homosexuality, but a lot of things that we stamp as this is what God takes serious and this is what he doesn't take serious. And we miss out on what he has clearly stated is serious to him. And that is, and it's so clear, because he said it 100 times in scriptures. And you said it tonight as the first, very first thing that you said. And God is clearly concerned on how we love one another, how we treat one another, that God has been clear about is on how we treat one another, whether we are gay, straight, black, white, blue, green, Christian, non-Christian. It is all on how, because he said, when I come to be the righteous judge, when he comes to do his thing, he's going to say, did you feed me? Did you visit me? Did you pray for me? What did you do to me is what I'm counting. I read it 100 times, and he said, I'm not looking. It didn't say I'm looking to see if you was gay or straight, whether you was right or wrong, why you was black or white. I'm looking at how you love one another. He said the greatest commandments and all the commandments is summed up in these two things. If you love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and if you love your brother. Those are the things. If anyone wanted to argue with me on what God saw as important or what God made a statement on, the one thing I would never debate with you is how he feels about love and how we treat each other. And the other thing is this, that we need to let God be who he is. God is the judge. He's going to do the judging. He's going to do the shifting and the separating of the wheats and the tares. So we need to let God be the judge. And I think that's where we lose out as as Christians, not even as the church, just as Christians, we play the role of judge instead of the role of love. And I think that's where we miss out on.
Can I just say, before we're getting very close to our closing time, but it's very interesting to me that our caller, the person put that in my box for that to be a question. As I'm going through Facebook and we have our chat room going, at some point tonight while we have been on this call, President Obama made his statement about where he stood on same-sex marriage and those things, and several people who are Christians are just appalled, and they can't believe that Obama would make this choice or make this decision. And it really strikes me as odd how the church jumps on the bandwagon or gets on board with something, because we're so caught up in whether or not we believe people who are the same sex should get married, but we not legislate no laws about people lying. I mean, it's a sin. If you believe it's a sin, it's a sin. We don't want to hear Obama's opinion on lying. We don't want to hear it on gossiping. We don't want to hear it on cheating on your taxes, but we're so caught up in same-sex marriage.
No.
And to me, it's like any other.
I was going to say the same thing, that, you know, if you really want to, you know, as much as we harp on same-sex marriage and how God is against that, I think if you want to take up the responsibility, God's responsibility of trying to judge someone's heart and trying to, you know, sort out the wheat from the tare, like he said not to do, you have to deal with unforgiveness in somebody's heart just as much as you have to deal with the homosexuality. And at the end of the day, you can't do it, you're unequipped to do it, and you're going to destroy everyone in your path trying to play God's role. And so it's really simple. Cooperate with what is, and you walk in love, and God will make everything else work out the way it's supposed to work.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we are coming almost down to the wire. If you have a quick question or comment in our chat room, you want to get that in. If you want to call us at 760-683-2662. Again, that number is 760-683-2662.
Can I give just a little bit of information also?
Yes, we're getting right down to that wire, so you can do that. We do want to say thank you for listening and joining us tonight for Amongst Friends. We have appreciated. Pastor, I'm only laughing because somebody just wrote in the chat room, okay, now we need him to have prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, we do not have prayer on Amongst Friends because we have folks from all walks of life in that group.
Okay.
But we appreciate y'all for listening. We'll have our final remarks from Pastor Owens, and perhaps if he's available in the coming weeks, next week maybe, or weeks following, we'll do a part two to have him back to share with us. Please feel free to go back on the line to replay this show and contact us. Pastor Durrell, you have the final words, and we have 2 minutes left on the show tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to tell everybody that, listen, you upgrade your cell phone, you upgrade your car from one model to the next model. There's a new model for love. There's new model for dating, a new model for marriage, and certainly a new model for understanding your sexuality. So don't be afraid to take that next step. If somebody wanted to contact me, I am on Facebook at Durrell Owens, and also my relationship page is SoulWorks2020. Dial up SoulWorks 2020 in your search box and like us, and you'll be in tune with all of the conferences and appearances and things we have coming up. If you'd like to reach me for our church, dial this number, 240-501-2344. 240-501-2344. If you want to contact us for our church, we're located in Clinton, Maryland. And I want to say to Amongst Friends, you guys were, like, awesome. Thank you for receiving me and understanding me and just giving me an opportunity and a platform to share what I believe is God's heart, man, for people to move forward. And that's all. We're in this for each other, and that's the most important thing to God and to myself. So God bless all of you all.
God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you as well.
Man.
Amen.
Thank you, guys. For those of you all who are still on the line, if you want to stay on past 10:30, you know we do a little bit of chatting afterwards. It's called the after show. So if you just stay connected, if you disconnect, you will not be able to come back into the after show. But we'll just be having an open conversation and closing out. So I think that was a good show tonight, guys.
I think it was a good show as well. But I am going to say that one of the chatter said something, and it resonated with me. No disrespect to anybody, but a lot of the stuff, while I totally wholeheartedly agree with everything he said about love, but a lot of the stuff was extreme for me. But in being honest, I can't say that I know the word well enough to agree or disagree with everything that he said. I do know how I was raised. I do know what I'm told on Sunday. But I really haven't taken the time to break down the Bible in that way to agree or to refute what's been said. I mean, it's totally good information. So that's why, for me, I've been kind of just sitting back, because I'm not in a position to say, oh, hell to the no, this is wrong, and I don't want to hear it. I can't do that. But
no.
it's a bit extreme for me, and it's some stuff that's going to make me go back and check it out. Go ahead.
The best thing, and you know, I support you in that, you know, because I didn't get here overnight. This was many years of trying to understand God, trying to walk with God, trying to be a better pastor, all kinds of things. Through a process and through a journey, I came to this place and to this understanding. It wasn't overnight, but I would say, you know, I too was raised fundamentally and with the same beliefs that you had, and I was as shocked to hear and to see some of those things. But, you know, at some point, I just got the courage to at least listen to it and talk about it and try to understand it, and I allowed, you know, love to reveal it to me. And in time, and as you seek it genuinely yourself, I think you'll find your way. It doesn't mean that you will ever agree with everything, and you don't have to. It's the beauty of it. But you just trust God, trust yourself. And I think, you know, you will be fine. All of us will. Because I'm going to love you and respect you and want your best interest no matter what.
Yeah, I think a lot of people probably do what Deidre and I do sometimes when we go to our respective churches. Deidre, when she goes every Sunday, me when I go. So you know, we sit there and we take in and. We sit there and the word is given to us and we take it in and we try to apply it. So we have to take it apart and apply what works for us when it works for us. And when those times happen, sometimes when the word does not work, the free will in you has to take over, and you have to be solid in your spirit, in your spirituality, to know that you're making the right decision for you, and you can just hope and pray that God is going to be okay with the decision that you made on this one particular piece of your life. And then you go forward, and you just hope that when that final time comes and you at the gate and they go, okay, Jeff, come on in, or Jeff, So I think that a lot of us are like that, but I just think that, you know, Pastor Owens, it was a lot of love, and he got a lot more understanding, and we got what we got tonight. And I'm so happy that we got that from a pastor.
Right. Yeah, we have to have courage, man, and to sit together and have responsible, focused, meaningful conversations about stuff that matter to our lives, that affect us in such deep ways, instead of just letting ourselves sail on broken and disturbed. I think that's totally the wrong thing to do, is to watch people around you just be disturbed and to only offer them the same thing that disturbed them. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like asking the guy who molested a little girl to counsel the little girl. You keep referring them back to the same thing that hurt them, and it's like, that doesn't work.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, it's been a good night. I appreciate it. I think, unless we got any other questions, if Pastor Darrell, if you can let us know your schedule. I'm getting several texts from different angles and Facebook of people wanting to continue the conversation. I don't know why people were so shy. We did have some difficulties with getting them in and on the line.
Yeah.
We can do a follow-up in the coming weeks just to
go back and cover some things because it was a lot of information. And maybe possibly, Deidre, one of the things we can do is focus on one area, you know, if it's going to be love or if it's going to be dating, you know, just to narrow the conversation down.
And when your next conference is, because I need to be there.
You know what, we're actually planning an encore of the conference on June 10th. I forgot to say that. June 10th. It's a Sunday at 3 o'clock, I believe, at 3 o'clock, and we're going to be doing, and this is going to be focused on the singles. We're going to be talking about dating and the sexuality part for singles mainly, and so we're going to try to focus it and leave the marriage out for a second, and not, and the love will always be in it because that's just a necessary ingredient. It's like you got to have that. Mainly focusing on singles with dating and sexuality and trying to, you know, really help people along the way concerning those questions like finding the right one, knowing the right one, when to move on, what bad signs, good signs, and all of that good stuff. But that's going to be June 10th at 3 o'clock. So if y'all don't mind, just put that out there. Again, we have SoulWorks 2020 on Facebook. That's the relationship page. And, again, we're going to blossom this out from just intimate relationships to dealing with brothers and sisters and parents and children, because it's other people who are, you know, struggling with their relationships and they need it. So
I really appreciate
you all. I would love to do a part two. I hope y'all would have me back because I kind of felt like, you know, more questions from the audience. I think they wanted to ask more questions, and that's what makes it really awesome. At our conferences, that's what we do mostly anyways, is more question and answer, me fielding questions, because I think people learn that better that way. So,
absolutely, absolutely.
Okay.
All right.
Amongst friends. Conversations for the Grown and Sexy, where we discuss everything concerning life, love, sex, and relationships.